Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter in the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 1, and he showed me, that's really what I want to preach on tonight. He showed me. How many is glad God showed you something? How many realize this tonight where you'd be had he not showed you something? I'm glad the Lord showed me one day that I was lost. I'm glad he showed me that he loved me. I'm glad he showed me how much he loved me. You want to know how much God loves you? Look at Calvary. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. What a blessing. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Let me ask you this question. I'm trying to read. But how many of y'all have ever stopped and realized that the only reason really our path ever crossed in life is because he showed you what he showed me? You get to thinking about that. That's what the church is, a bunch of people that God showed them they were lost. And God showed them that there was a Savior that loved them. And God showed them there was a heaven to gain. And God showed them there was a hell to shun. Amen. I'm so glad the Lord showed us some things. But here he's talking to John. He said he showed him a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God knows the nations need some healing. Say amen. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Then he said this, worship God. One thing you'll find throughout the Bible, whenever an angel receives worship, that is a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. But if that angel will not receive worship, then he is an angel of God. The Bible said that. Then he saith unto me, seal thou do it not. Well, let's go down to verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This is the third time now this has been repeated. Jesus is coming, and he's coming quickly. Amen. And then John, after seeing all that he saw and hearing all that he heard throughout the book of Revelation, said, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, I jotted down a few things as you spoke to my heart. Lord, I need you, Lord, tonight to help us in this meeting. Father, I realize tonight that I'm preaching to some people that have heavy hearts. Lord, when somebody that we love and care deeply about is suffering, Lord, it weighs heavy on our heart, heavy on our mind. And Lord, we pray tonight that, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us. Lord, some days we're just living under a dark shadow. Would you help us tonight to see above the shadow? Would you help us this evening, Lord, to understand, Lord, that you're coming? My, how things are going to change for the child of God when you come. And then, Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know you, they would realize how quickly things are going to change for those that do not know you. But, Lord, it's not going to be a change for the better. It's going to be a change for the worse. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you just several things in these first seven or eight verses here. And then we're going to go down and look at a few things in the end of the chapter tonight. And if I was going to put a title on it, it would just be, He Showed Me. The Holy Spirit of God shows His people some things along the way. You can be reading the Bible, and maybe you've already read that same text 20 times, and all of a sudden God lets it just jump off the page because it's exactly what you needed at exactly that time. Aren't you glad the Bible's alive? Aren't you glad God can still do that, amen, in our hearts and in our lives? What did he show John here? The first thing I see is he showed John his purity. The Bible said here, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Now listen, if you're not careful tonight, you'd concentrate on the river. If you're not careful tonight, you'd concentrate, the Bible said, the water of life, you concentrate on the clarity of the water. But what I believe God wants us to see tonight is the reason it's pure. The reason it's pure is where it's flowing from. It's flowing from the throne of God. Amen. There's a part of you and I tonight that are saved by the grace of God that's pure. The only reason it is because there came a day when we got in contact with the throne of God. And the blood of His Son washed away our sin. Amen. And the Lord helped us to be pure. Think about what the Bible said here. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I want you to give you something tonight. Psalm 47 and verse number 8. Turn there with me tonight and look at this passage of Scripture with me for just a moment. In Psalm 47 and verse number 8, the Bible said, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. Can I say to you tonight, God's throne has always been holy. God's throne will always be holy. No wonder that Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, he had his eyes on the nation and everything that was wrong in the nation of Israel, and there was a lot wrong. But in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw also the Lord high and lifted up. I'll tell you the mistake that's being made in our generation is trying to see the Lord down here among us. And we're trying to get him to be like us. But honey, he ain't never going to be like us. The secret of this thing is us desiring to be like him. He's the one that's holy. He's the one that's high. The seraphims and the cherubims cried, "Holy, holy, holy." I tell you, I praise God for a thrice holy God. And the Bible's telling him, John said, first thing he showed me his purity, that pure river flowing from the throne of God. The Bible said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And I believe tonight that purity is a wonderful thing, and it ought to be something that every child of God aims for in their daily walk. Amen. And the only way we can do that, amen, is keep short accounts. When we blow it, amen, we need to come to God and ask him to forgive us, amen. Ask him to cleanse us. Peter, when Jesus washed the feet, he said, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Peter said, Jesus told him, "If I don't wash your feet," he said, "you have no part with me." He said, "Okay then, wash me all over." I tell you, we don't need to be saved every day. But I tell you what, if you live in this world, you'll need to be washed every day. Every day, you'll need a cleansing. And then I believe that's what that signified, amen, as we walk in this earth. We're going to need that daily cleansing. So he sees purity, but then he showed him a provision. Look in verse number 2. "In the midst of the street of it, neither side of the river, was there the tree of life." You know, I think we forget sometimes who it is that's providing for us down here. And the same God that's providing for us down here is going to be the same God that provides for us over there. Now, I like this here. If you look in verse number, let's see here. In verse number 3, it talks about the servants shall serve him. I believe the same God that we serve down here will be the same God that we serve over there, don't you? I believe if you're excited about being a servant of the Most High God down here, then you can be excited about being a servant of the Most High God over there. But look what he provides. He said there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Now that's something, isn't it? Amen. We get fruit off of a fruit tree once a year. But the Word of God said here, it yielded its fruit every month. And I'm not sure how you make all this work, but really we're talking about a time when time shall be no more. Amen. And I'm not sure that God ain't just saying there in that passage, anytime you want some fruit, the fruit will be there. Amen. Let me tell you something about this old book. Anytime you want a blessing, the blessing will be there. You just get in it. Amen. The blessing God provides for his children. Then I see, not only did he show him his purity and show him his provision, but he showed John his people. Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." I don't know about you, but when John saw God's people in glory, John said, "There's something I can't find. I can't find any more cancer. I can't find any more heart attacks. I can't find any more crippled. I can't find any more rheumatoid arthritis. I can't find these. The curse is gone." Amen. You understand, today we're living under the curse of sin as humanity. That's why just a little while, along the back of our house, Miss C's got some roses. That's why those roses have thorns. But I'm telling you, we're headed to a place, two things, where the roses will never fade, number one, and where they won't have thorns, number two. Because that was part of the curse. And the Word of God said, when John saw his people, he said, "I see the people, but I cannot anymore see the curse." Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I can get excited about that. A land that's fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. You say, "Preacher, what happens when there's no more curse?" Look at verse 4 of chapter 21. "And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes." I hugged a man Monday. is weeping like a baby. He's a grown man because of the condition that his precious wife is in. I'm going to tell you something. We're headed to a place where that ain't going to be no more, where we won't have to weep, where we won't have to have a heart that's broken. The Word of God said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I say tonight, I had a lady that contacted me today, and I'm not going to go into any detail, but she's battling a condition that a lot of people don't even believe is a condition. You understand what I mean? There's some people that just make fun of somebody. You understand what I mean? And I'll tell you something, I don't believe we're to be making fun of anybody, because we don't know what anybody's going through. Amen. I know preachers that have battled depression and different things that somebody else would say, well, if they had a little bit of faith, they'd just snap out of it. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. None of us know what we're going to face before we get out of this world. We better be careful, amen. What we better do is pray for people, amen, and talk to the one that does know exactly what they're going through. And I tell you what else we better do. We better just keep in the back of our mind that maybe today we'll step out of this cursed, this sin-cursed world that we live in over into our real home where there's no more curse, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more dying. What a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. He showed me. Let me ask you something. What's it going to be like? Look what the Bible said in verse number 9 of chapter 21. What's it going to be like when God shows us all of his people? He said, There came unto me one of the seven angels, had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked to me, saying, Come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I'm going to tell you something right now. I can still remember when they opened the doors at Faith Baptist Church in Joppa, Maryland, and my precious wife started down that aisle. I can remember that like it was yesterday. But I'll say this, as beautiful as she was and is, we ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till we see the bride of Christ arrayed in that fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. What a day that's going to be. He showed me. He showed him purity. He showed him a provision. He showed him his people. Look in verse number 5 of chapter 22. He showed him his power. You say, Preacher, what kind of power does God have? Well, the Bible said there shall be no night there, and they don't need a candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Bible said over there in verse 22 of chapter 21, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. In verse 23, And the city had no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I don't know what that's going to be like, but if I'm reading the Bible correctly, there's only one source of light and glory, and it all comes from the throne. Ain't that going to be a blessing? Amen. What power there is in him that loved us and gave himself for us. I want you to see the prophecy. Look in verse number 6 and 7. These things said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. He said, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I didn't plan on doing this, but turn back over to Peter just a minute. I'll show you a contrast here. I believe it's in 2 Peter. I want you to see the contrast. Here God says, blessed are they. In other words, Jesus said he's coming quickly. Blessed are they that take up that prophecy in their heart and believe that prophecy in their heart and keep that prophecy in their heart. Look at some that did not. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. He's talking about the prophecy again. And the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. I'll say this tonight. This world is full of them. This world is full of people that believe that a group of people like us is crazy to heat a building like this and pay the light bill in a place like this and send thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to missions. They think we're crazy. A preacher to study and to pray. They think we're crazy. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We didn't lose our mind when we came to Christ. Hallelujah, we found it. Amen. I wasn't acting like a crazy person after I come to Christ. I was acting like an idiot before I come to Christ. And we know tonight there's scoffers in the last days. What are they saying? Look at verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. God destroyed it with water the first time. But he put that bow in the cloud. It was a reminder, not only to us, but to him. It was a covenant that it wouldn't be destroyed like that again. The next time, it's going to be fire. You can only imagine in Noah's day it had never rained. But Noah said it's going to rain. You can only imagine how they mocked that man and mocked his sons. How they mocked the message of God in that day. According to the Bible, he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And I tell you, the mocking stopped when the raindrops started falling. The only way they had known water upon the earth until then was a dew that came up from the earth. It had never done that. And I tell you tonight, it's never rained 100-pound hailstones, but it's going to. I tell you tonight, one-third of the earth has never been on fire at the same time, but it's going to. I tell you tonight, one-third of the blood, the water has never been turned into blood at one time, but it's going to. It's going to happen. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because God said it in his word. Amen. And he's saying, I'm pronouncing a blessing on them that will believe the prophecy of his word and take that to heart. Now tonight, I'll give you a couple things in closing tonight. He showed me, as he showed you his purity, his provision, his people, his power, his prophecy. It ought to produce some things in our life if we have seen some things. John said in 1 John chapter 1, I cannot but speak the things which I've seen and heard. Beloved, tonight, if we've heard from heaven, we know God's changed our life. Let me give you three things that ought to be evident in our life. Number one, there ought to be a desire to worship. After God showed John these things, the first thing John wanted to do in verse number 8 was fall down and worship. Now, he was told not to do it. He was in front of the wrong one. Amen. But there was a desire to worship. I will say this tonight. I worry about people that make a profession of faith and don't have any desire to worship God. I mean that tonight. I'm not throwing stones, but I tell you tonight, you can just read the words, "Worthy is the Lamb," and it blesses my heart, because I knew the night he saved me, he was worthy. And everything I am, everything I have, everything I ever will have, everything I ever will be, he's worthy of that tonight. He gave his all. And so there's worship. There's a desire to worship. In verse number 9, he said, "See thou do it not. I'm thy fellow servant, thy brethren, the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book." He said, worship God. And I believe tonight that God desires worship. I believe tonight that God deserves worship. Don't you? Anybody do what he done for us, he deserves tonight to be worshiped. He's worthy tonight. Worthy is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now tonight, not only is there a desire to worship, but look at this tonight. And of course, in verse number 12, he said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his," what's that next word? Do y'all know that that's not a dirty word? Work is not a dirty word. There's a whole lot of people in the world that act like W-O-R-K is a four-letter dirty word. But I'll tell you something tonight. I'm just telling you, for me, Brother John, when he saved me, he put a desire in my heart to work for him. Not working for him so I can go to heaven, but praise God, working for him because I'm on my way. Because I love him, amen. I believe that tonight. I didn't have anybody to come along and ask me if I believed in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus when I started out. Amen, Brother John. I just had to work, amen. Told my pastor, I said, "If it needs to be painted, I'll paint it. If it needs to be mowed, I'll mow it. If you need somebody to drive, I'll drive it." He said, "Preacher, why?" Because how could I hold back on the one that gave everything for me? Amen. I believe there'll be a desire to worship. I believe there'll be a desire to work. And I want you to see this tonight. I want you to see this. I believe this with all of my heart. But I believe also there'll be a desire to win others. How many of y'all can remember, how many of y'all can remember when you got saved? How many can remember just wishing that everybody had what you had? You remember that? It took me a little while. I had to calm down a little bit. But it took me a little while. I just couldn't figure out why everybody, this is so good. Knowing Jesus is so good. Knowing your sins are gone, it's so good. Knowing your name's in heaven, it's so good. Why don't everybody get in on it? The Spirit of God whispered to me and said, "Why didn't you get in on it for 27 years? Well, there's multiple reasons for that. One is I was blind. Amen. Another is when God was trying to pull the blinders off in those latter days, I was full of pride. I didn't have a little bit. I was full of it. Full of pride. And my pride had to go away before I could come to Jesus. I believe there's a desire to win others. You say, "Preacher, I don't see where you even get this from in this scripture." Well, let me help you. Jesus said in verse 16, "I've sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." He's not preaching to the bar room now. He's preaching to the churches. He said, "I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bride and the morning star." Then watch this. Now he said, "In the Spirit." How many believes the Spirit of God comes in at the moment of conversion to a believer's heart and believer's life? Seals him to the day of redemption. The Bible said the Spirit and the bride How many's part of that bride tonight? Been washed in that blood, heaven bound tonight. What's the Spirit and the bride do? They say to a lost and dying world, come. Come. I got a drink. Come and let me show you where I got a drink. One old preacher years ago, he said, a soul winner, he said, it ain't nothing but one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I like that. Amen. If I was out here on the street in Kingsport tonight, and it's only the grace of God, I'm not out here on the street in Kingsport tonight, but if I was out here tonight and I was hungry, I mean hungry, and a guy walked up to me and said, listen, if you'll go with me down here to the Salvation Army, I'll show you where you can get some food. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to take my chances, and I'm going to go with him. I want to say this tonight. There's a whole lot of people in the world hungry. They don't know what they're hungering for. They don't know what they're thirsting for. But we that have been to Calvary, we know exactly the void that they're trying to fill in their heart and in their life. Amen. Coulter and I can't remember how many Saturdays ago it was now. Oh, it was the Saturday we visited. Coulter and I went out, and I don't think we got in until about 4:30 that afternoon. But he had been going to a prayer meeting with a little church there in Church Hill. His cousin is the pastor of the church. And he met a deacon in the church. And that deacon had a close relative, and I can't remember whether it was his nephew or his cousin or his brother, but it was a close relative. That man was dying with cancer. And Coulter asked me, said, Pastor, you think we could go by and see him? I said, I'd be glad to. Coulter, he lived in the Mount Carmel area. We found his house. We went in, we sat down, we just kind of warmed up. The house was full of smoke. I mean, I guess everybody smoked cigarettes. It was just full of smoke. And I'm not downing that. I'm just telling you the situation we were in. But we warmed up a while and talked a while. And Coulter said to that man, he said, we wanted to come by and talk to you about your soul. He said, are you saved? And that man shriveling up with cancer. He looked at Colt. He said, yes, I am. And Colt looked at him with surprise and he said, well, I didn't know that. He said, when did you get saved? He said, just a couple weeks ago. And the man that had asked Colt to pray for him didn't even know it yet. And so Coulter told him who it was that asked him to pray for him, and he said, if you don't care, he said, right here, right now. He said, call him up and tell him what you just told me. He said, I sure will. And he called him up and told him. And they rejoiced. You could hear it over the phone. I'll tell you something. If we're not careful, the bride of Christ will get so wrapped up in this world that we'll forget what we're here for. We're supposed to be out yonder saying, come. Let me show you where I got some bread. Let me show you where I found the water of life. Let me show you where for the first time the dear lady Sunday morning, Sister Joyce said Sunday night, she went everywhere Sunday afternoon telling everybody she got saved. Said she's on cloud nine. I tell you what, you can float when you get rid of that mess. Say amen. When you lay that mess down. I never did say I was on cloud nine, but I've said this often. For 2 weeks, I didn't know my feet were touching the ground. Amen. And then a trying situation brought me back to planet Earth, and I realized I'm not in heaven yet. I've realized it several times since. But tonight, there ought to be a desire to win others. I'll say this tonight, and I don't know that this goes on in our church. I really don't, but I'll say it anyway. If we're in such a big hurry to get out of here on Sunday morning that we can't even give God time to deal with somebody, we're in bad shape. If we're so busy in our life that we can't ever use a telephone or pen a letter or a card or go knock on a neighbor's door, we're in bad shape. If we're so unconcerned that we don't even desire to, we're in bad shape. I didn't say we're lost. I'm not lost. But I'm telling you tonight, sometimes I believe we miss what's closest to the heart of God, and that is the souls of men. Amen? And there ought to be that desire to win others. What did he say? He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How many believes it's free tonight? That doesn't mean it's cheap. Amen? It's a gift. But it cost Jesus his life. It cost him his life. What was it Jesus said? I believe it was in the book of Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And he said, you'll find rest for your soul. How many ever looked for rest in some place besides Calvary? How many ever looked for rest in some other place? You didn't find it, did you? There's no rest to be found outside of Calvary. Then I guess what we've preached about a little bit tonight, the book of Hebrews said it like this, there remaineth therefore rest. Brother Houston, Sister Dolores is fixing to rest. She has not suffered for days, she has suffered for decades. But she's fixing to rest. Fixing to rest. Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?